I'm Scotty Bowman. I was born and raised in Detroit and have been a resident of the Morningside community in the 4224 for 15 years. As a civilian living in Detroit, I have often found the need to seek out assistance from the police. Like many of my neighbors, I have been the victim of break-ins and other crimes. I have also assisted police in their public safety efforts through my local radio patrol, Angels Night patrols, and being the eyes and ears for them at the Detroit River Walk. I have also been on the receiving end when some police officers strayed from their duty to serve and protect. I am a realist who knows that even the best people have bad days and that no profession is immune to bad actors. It is in this spirit that I felt inspired to create a podcast about the dynamics of police-community relations. The richness of experience people had to share became especially clear to me when I walked door to door as a candidate for police commissioner. I saw the need for a civilian commissioner who could truly be an advocate for concerned civilians who approached the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners with concerns about how police officers are doing their jobs while being understanding of the Herculean challenges faced by law enforcement in Detroit. I have been on the executive board of the Morningside Neighborhood Association since I was elected to it in 2013. I am a member of the 5th Precinct Community Relations Council, and I was vice president of my neighborhood patrol for a few years. I'm deeply involved in the community and very concerned about the future of this city. In Morningside, like in the rest of Detroit, there is crime. There are accidents, there are disagreements, and so police play a significant role in the lives of residents in the community. The experiences are as diverse as the people within the city. Some people are proactive in those relationships. As a radio patrol organizer, Beverly Brown has had a calling to work with the police to improve neighborhood safety.
Basically, regardless whether I'm patrolling or not, I'm just nosy. And when I would come home from work and stuff, if I seen different things, I'd make a mental note of it to double check it. And I know one time we were coming from a meeting one evening, young lady that was on the patrol, and we both spotted the same thing. She was the passenger, but it was on the driver's side. And I looked at her and said, "Did you see that?" "Yeah, I was wondering if you saw that." And this, you know, it feels good to be able to do something positive with all the negativity in the world, you know. And I just want everybody to be safe, you know, in every community, not just certain pockets. I want everybody to be safe. We got kids going to school. They, you know, and we look out for the kids in the morning. You know, we do morning patrols. Not every day because we don't have people doing it every day, but people, a couple of ladies that I work with, they do patrols before they go to work. So that's dedication.
On April 4th, 2018, I attended the 5th Precinct Community Relations meeting at the Samaritan Center on Connor Avenue and asked attendees a few questions. Sir, what's your name?
I'm Bob Nelson there.
I am the state representative. My name is Betty Cook Scott.
Greg Sanders.
What brings you to the police community relations meeting?
Well, it kind of helps us out there. You learn more. The police, the board meeting, you get a chance to know more about them. They get a chance to know about you. It's a good communication.
The police community relations meetings are vital to the community. Once upon a time, this is the 5th Community Relations Police Board. I was on the board before I was elected as state representative. Also, you have a valued person here. I was the police for 17 years, and I believe that there should be some unity between the police and the community, and that's why this board was set up, so that each faction would have their voices heard, and the community and the police could mediate their problems through this board. And if this board did not handle their problems, we have a central police community relations board which would mediate the problems.
Well, I'd like to get to know who's running the show around here, who the head dogs are, and how we can get better communication for what's going on in our neighborhoods between the police and the citizens.
What community would you say you live in?
I live over on the Jefferson Chalmers. I'm in Jefferson Chalmers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very
much. Block club over there and everything.
Oh, terrific.
That's right. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
Better than that. About a half a mile from the Chrysler plant.
We've been hearing from people who represent the community side of police community relations. Deputy Chief Bettison represents the police side. He has a little bit of a different take on things.
Ty Bettison, I'm a deputy chief with the Detroit Police Department. You get a chance to hear from the citizens, I mean the folks who actually live in the community, the folks that are involved, the folks who care, and when you get it from that grassroots level, you know exactly what's going on, and then it allows us to work together as a team, because without the community, the police can't function, and then without that relationship, it makes it very difficult for us to be able to serve our citizens. I'm out of Chief Craig's office, so I'm the chief's neighborhood liaison, so I oversee the neighborhood police officer program, so I'm citywide, but you know, have that touch with all the communities. The neighborhood police officer program is a community relations program, but when Chief Craig came here, he likes to say, listen, I took the current program and put it on steroids. I wanted to be able to make sure that we dealt with quality of life type issues and then also tie in a police officer to a geographic neighborhood within a city so that the officers who are normally on patrol, they don't have the time when you call them with a 911 type run to be able to really get to know the community. They're bouncing from police run to police run, but we want to have officers that are dedicated to quality of life, that really know the block club captains, the block club leaders, the radio patrol, and really be able to work with that neighborhood so that together they can increase the quality of life. And it's all about community empowerment as well.
If you attend a police community relations meeting, you would think that interacting with the police is a social occasion. There's food and laughter and the occasional community complaint. When you encounter the police by chance, it's often under a more unpleasant or tragic circumstance. Like the consequences of a high-speed chase that happened in front of the home of Ronald and Nicole on June 24th, 2015.
Ronald Anzac. I live at the house where two kids were horribly ran over and killed, being chased by the police.
Nicole Jackson. I am the mother of Alicia Jackson, the deceased grandkids of Micaiah and Michelangelo.
It was an ordinary day where the kids was out here playing. My grandson Michelangelo was coming to visit his sister Micaiah for the summer, and we was out here, and for a brief second, everything was fine. And I decided to go in the house because I had company over. And before we knew it, there was a lot of commotion going on. I heard like a loud boom crash. So I looked out my window, and I seen that it was a boulder that must have been dragged from down the street. And it landed in front of my house. And when I looked out, I heard people saying the children's the kids.
I heard a loud crash outside my bedroom window. I heard somebody yell, the kids. I looked out the window and I seen police already everywhere and sidewalk smoking, and I just raced downstairs to find out two of the kids were hit. And there were police and U.S. Customs Patrol vehicles everywhere.
And when I came down, there was a lot of people, a lot of police officers out here. Someone said they were dead. They had got hit in front of my house and drugged down the street.
They yelled the kids were hit. I ran down the street barefooted to see the police loading Micaiah into the back of a squad car, and she was being raced off. Michelangelo, I didn't see him. I didn't see what they did with him. I came back, I put on my shoes, I went down to talk to somebody to find out what was going on, and I was just pushed away, told to go mind my own business.
I didn't see anything but the car down the street smash up against the vacant house, and every direction there was some type of law enforcement out here. I did not go down there because, like I said, there was a lot of peoples out here and a lot of cops. I stood on the porch. My fiance and some of his family members over here, they went down there. My daughter, she went down there, but we was not able to really get close to view the bodies. But I was told and heard that they tried to save my granddaughter. They picked her up, put her in the squad car, and rushed her to the hospital.
When I got from my upstairs to my front door, there were so many cops around, I really couldn't do anything. I ran past some police to Micaiah as one of the cops were loading her up. And then after that, they were just telling me to get back. They started taping off the scene.
They told you to mind your own business. You're related by marriage, right, to them?
I'm engaged to her grandmother.
Okay.
I was at the hospital when both of those children were born.
And they were telling you that it was none of your business?
Yes, the police that started taping the scene off.
Did you tell them about that you had this relationship to the children and to the grandmother?
They didn't even seem like they wanted to hear it.
What happened? What was your interaction with them after that?
After that, I just pretty much avoided the police.
Did they ever come back to talk to you about the that day, like, you know, in the investigation course of
they
the
came
incident?
To speak with the mother and the grandmother. They really didn't ask me too much of anything.
Okay. Did you go down to the hospital? You said Micaiah. She was in the hospital.
From what I was told, they both were killed instantly. There was no going to the hospital to see them. They went from here, they said, to the ER, and what they told me, I knew they were on their way straight to the morgue.
Okay, so
I didn't see them again until the day of their funeral.
What's your opinion about the fact that this happened in a high-speed chase?
In residential neighborhoods where children are liable to be outside playing, there should not be high-speed chases. A lot of these people they're chasing are young kids who can't even control half the vehicles they try to drive. They wipe out every day. They shouldn't be even chasing them. Speeds get to a certain limit. They should find a way to stop it or stop the chase. It's got to be most one of the unsafe streets I've seen in a long time. At my corner is a four-way stop sign, which hardly anybody stops at. They come flying through that sign like it ain't there.
No kidding. Yep.
Nobody stops at that sign. And sometimes they come through at high speed. They don't even try to slow down. They just blow through it and keep going. There are the few cops that would sit on the side of the street and just pull people over at random when they blow that sign. Me and my fiance, we sit back and we enjoy it. That was the only time we felt it was safe enough to let our kids play in the front yard when there was a cop out here stopping these fools from speeding. If they're out here actually keeping people safe, I got no problem with it. But if they're just being rude to people, not even solving certain cases that I would like to see solved, I really don't have much respect for the police anymore.
Okay, what kind of case do you think you'd like to see solved?
My father's murder in 2008. An unknown gunman walked up on his front porch at 2 a.m. in the morning and unloaded an AK-47 into the house. It was on Hayes and Young in the January of 2008.
I got me.
They said they had empty shell casings, which fingerprints would have been burned off the shell casings. Other than that, they already said they had nothing else to go on, and eventually it was just a cold case.
Is there a place to go when things don't go quite right?
Shortly after the regular meeting on May 3rd, I had a chance to sit down with one of the commissioners and talk about what he thought the Board of Police Commissioners was supposed to be doing.
I'm Commissioner Willie Burton. I am the youngest elected police commissioner in the country, and you know, it's an honor to serve on this board as a commissioner. And you know, I believe that the best commissioners are those that are from the community, that are fair, believe in accountability and transparency between the department and also between the community. It's good that you asked the question, what brings me to the board meeting. I'm actually one of the sitting commissioners that represent the mighty 5th District, and it's an honor to be part of this podcast.
And what is the role of the Board of Police Commissioners? What is its main purpose?
You know, we basically the bridge of accountability between the police department and the community, Detroit residents. You know, we a board that's supposed to come together and also to make decisions that are fair, whether it's by the community or by the department. You know, one of the things that the Board of Police Commissioners looks into is citizens' complaints. You know, as a board, we ought to take citizens' complaints and concerns to heart, you know, and we should, you know, value those complaints as they come before the board and do our due diligence and, you know, to investigate the merit of the complaint. You know, one of the things about the police force commissioners, which is unique, you do not have to be a prior law enforcement officer to be on the board. It is an oversight body that's made up of members from the community that are elected or appointed by the mayor for that matter. I think the best commissioners are those that does not come from the department, but more so come from the community, or because the decisions that they make can be more fair and not so much bias. We are there as an oversight body, not just to protect the police, but also to protect the community and also to be fair across the middle. As a commissioner, you know, I like to bring more resources to the neighborhoods, more discussions and dialogues, and because that's what a good commissioner does. Looking at the previous board that the board had, we had seven elected, four appointed. The majority of the board as of last year was majority those that was from the department. Looking at most civilian oversight boards, I could see having possibly one or two former officers on the board. But when you have a majority of board is making up of former officers, it's not a good look from an oversight standpoint. But you know there is a need for experience. Maybe having one or two experienced officers on the board, but when you have six or seven, that's too many. You actually pointed out something to me, Mr. Bowman, last year, where a lot of the households was not aware that the Police Board of Commissioners exists. I think it was when you were going door to door talking to many residents, and they wanted to know how can they get involved, and into getting plugged into a Police Board of Commissioners meeting or any other meeting. It's a lot of families out there just misinformed, not aware. And, you know, thank you for bringing that to my attention, because now, you know, I find you and I going out there in the community and, you know, and speaking more with residents and things of that nature. And it was good, working with you in the community, because you are a leader in the community and you're doing a lot to help families. So keep up the good work you're doing, sir.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your good words, Commissioner. Board of Police Commissioner meeting is a little more tenuous. It's where people bring their complaints and the police commissioners are there to hear from the people who want to emphasize their issues. On the second Thursday of each month, the Board of Police Commissioners has their meeting someplace out in the community. On April 12th, they had it in the 11th Precinct at Peace Baptist Church.
My name is Russ Ballant. I'm president of the We Care Neighborhood Association. Well, first of all, the board is elected, and it's a body of accountability, and so the public should be attentive to the elected boards, whether it's a school board, a board of police commissioners, or a city council, or whatever. So I go to these meetings to stay informed of what's going on, but tonight I also had several issues I wanted to address. One of the important issues that was raised in this meeting tonight, I feel strongly about that, is that for, you know, many, many, many years, the city of Detroit taxpayers have been paying to train police officers for departments outside the city, and we don't get paid back. Too many times in this city and state, the rights of accountability of elected officials have been taken away from us in the school districts across the state, several, and many cities as well. And citizens have to be active to play the proper role citizens are to play.
Yes, my name is Claude Johnson.
Well, actually what brought me here was just being a chance to voice my opinion about what's been going on here in the city. Some years ago, I've come across some incident where I ended up being arrested and everything was dropped, but the officer was just totally out of order. And everything was just kind of swept under the rug from the precinct down to even the courthouses. And it was just hard, you know, the situation that's been going on for since I've been a teenager, you know, just police brutality, just being in fear of just being stopped. You know, it's okay, I don't have a problem with getting a ticket. It's just some of the attitudes that come along with that ticket and some of the treatment that I get by our Detroit police officers. So basically that's what brought me down here, to find out what's really going on. You know, they only give you 2 minutes to talk, but they had plenty of time to tell us about the numbers of homicide or the numbers of arrests, whether they're up or down. But when you have cares and concerns about situations, you're only getting 2 minutes of a lifetime of situations. And, you know, the numbers and everything, that's, you know, who cares? You know, we trying to find out what's going on here and now. And in order to stop some of the numbers as far as homicide and stuff growing, we need to communicate, and we can't do that if we only get in 2 minutes about the real issues. I'm learning. I'm new to this. I kept hearing about this meeting, and you know, one of my church members is actually part of the commissioner. How can I help other young black men? We always waiting until something happened, but now is the time to really talk about things. But it goes back to we're only getting 2 minutes, and it's like when and where. You know, I'm told about another meeting, but am I going to get 2 minutes there? You know, it's like, when is something actually going to be done? And even with my traffic stop situation, doors kept being closed. It's like you make a report, nobody contacts you back. You call, nobody contacts you back. I come to a meeting, I only get 2 minutes, and I get shut down. You know, where do we go from here? I do appreciate a couple of chief investigators did approach me, and I did get their number. I gave them my number. I'm just hoping to get a call. I was told I was going to be called tomorrow, so it's just a matter of time, and we'll see what happens from here. Like I say, this is my first meeting, so I can't just judge my first meeting. Trying to be heard is a little difficult, you know, if you don't have a certain position or if you're not, you know, have a certain title. It seems to be a bit unfair to the citizens when we only get 2 minutes. Like I said, this happened in 09, but problems are still happening every day. Just a couple of summers ago, I'm cleaning out my own garage. An officer pulled up and asked me what I was doing, and I explained to him, I'm cleaning out my garage, and I end up having to show him my ID, and you know, he telling me, oh, you scrapping, and I mean, it's just his old attitude and demeanor, and I'm at home, you know, and it's like, you know, this has got to stop. It just doesn't make sense. They quick to arrest folks for being disorderly, but who's arresting a disorderly officer? Who's doing something about that disorderly officer? You know, it's like they bring in, you know, situations that come happen, they're supposed to be peacemakers, but they actually add fuel to fires, and on many occasions. In some cases, I mean, officers are human, we all human, they have bad days and they have good days. But I think in their cases, they can't bring any bad days to job when they're dealing with someone's life or even livelihood, because a lot of unarmed men are being killed. You know, women, I mean, we getting killed out of here because either the officer's having a bad day or whoever they stopping might have had a bad day, but there has got to be some type of training in those type of situations. But it just needs to stop. Something definitely needs to change. You know, in any situation, especially if someone comes to make a report. Like in my case, everything was just thrown out, you know, from the tickets to the assault, everything was just thrown out of court. You know, paperwork being lost, you know, it was just things of that nature. And I think more investigation needs to be done on every report. You know, anytime someone comes in there and say, hey, this officer did this and that, it shouldn't be swept under the rug. It should, somebody should at least call. I never even got a call back from anyone. So it was like, I called, left messages, even, you know, went to certain places and just kept getting doors slammed in my face. And, you know, it's very disappointing. And it was just like, what else do? You know? And for a while I was scared, you know, I was just paranoid. Police put me over, my heart get the pounding. I shouldn't have to live like that, you know, because I don't know how this traffic stop gonna turn out. And in my situation, my license was good, the car was registered and insured. You know, and I didn't have a problem with getting a ticket. You know, you go to court, pay your ticket. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. It was just the whole attitude and his behavior. And I just got pushed off to the side like I didn't matter. You know, but it mattered when they wanted to lock me up. You know, it mattered when they wanted to, you know, send me to court. But when I tried to say, hey, this happened to me, it doesn't seem to matter. Doors was closed, you know.
Do you feel like the rights of civilians and the rights of police are equal?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. You know, it's, you know, I was approached this evening and, you know, they said some things are changing, and that's, for me, that's yet to be seen.
Theo Brooks, co-founder of Hood Research. Well, Hood Research is a community-based organization, and this year we are 26 years old. Well, I have a serious concern about the lack of response time. Downtown gets respected, the neighborhoods get neglected. And on May the 7th, a woman was walking across the street and got hit by a vehicle. Her leg was broken. She laid in the street, And Tawana happened to be coming down that area and saw the woman and pulled over and got out. Then she saw the woman who actually did the hitting and talked with her for a moment. 911 was called. Everyone was put on hold. That's a lack of response. Why would 911 put anybody on hold? It's supposed to be an emergency line. You take care of them at that time. The police never came. What kind of response is that? Police never came. Downtown gets respected. The neighborhoods get neglected. There needs to be something done about it. 15 minutes for EMS to show up. The commander from the 10th precinct spoke with the woman who actually did roll up to give some assistance. That was Tawana. And took information from her. She did videotape what was there to be videotaped. But the police never came. You know, the least you could do is send a car from another precinct if you're short on cars. Okay? If you're short on cars, you get a car from another precinct and have them come over for assistance. The next day, my grandson was hit in the 8th precinct, and he was riding a bicycle in the bicycle lane. So go figure. You got to wonder.
What happened when your grandson was hit?
Well, he was temporarily knocked out, but again, the police never came. That's why I came tonight. That's why I am disappointed in the service. And yes, some areas seem to get good service, helicopters and all. But the 7th and the 8th, the police never came.
Hello, here we are again at the Board of Police Commissioners meeting on May 10th. And hi, would you please introduce yourself?
I'm Minister Fuquay Bay, Morenstein, Temple America, Temple 25, Detroit, Michigan, 5601 Grand River Avenue.
And what brings you over to the Board of Police Commissioners meeting this evening?
Well, they said there was going to be changes ahead in the Detroit Police Department. I wanted to see what changes were they going to be addressing And I heard a lot tonight, heard a lot about the budget, I heard a lot about changes they would like to make, but I don't know, it may be the bulldog without any teeth, because I didn't really hear any bite to it. I heard questions posed that they really couldn't necessarily answer directly. So that's not going to stop me from coming out and seeing, can we pull some teeth out of here? Hold on, come on.
And I heard you speaking about what the Board of Police Commissioners is supposed to be doing and who they're supposed to be.
Well, Bill Davis can tell us a lot about that. Bill Davis can tell us a lot about that. This is the interview. He's going to let you know, because he's on the Board of Police Commissioners. He's going to tell you a lot about what they do and what they can do. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, the main thing that the Detroit Police Board of Commissioners should be doing is making sure we're doing proper oversight of what's going on in the department, and that the civilians of the city of Detroit have an opportunity to express themselves, to know what's going on, and we can try to inform them as much as possible, and that we can hear complaints along with doing budgets. And the Detroit Police Department should truly represent the people that live in the city of Detroit, and also make sure that our guests are safe.
Now, I heard Minister Bay earlier in the meeting commenting about people in the community getting confused and thinking commissioners were police. Would you want to expound on that?
There are some people, sometimes they get nervous to see a badge, because we all have badges. But we need to make sure that the police department and the police commissioners, we're here to serve the public, not to overrule them. And we need to encourage people to take a more active role in our communities and to truly represent the people for the people's benefit. That's the bottom line. We're here to serve the people of Detroit.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis.
Some people seek out the police to feel safe. Others wish to be kept safe from the police. And the police are concerned about their safety too. What we all have in common is a common desire to feel safe.
Support for Morningside 48224 is provided by the Knight Foundation.